If there are two things that are for certain in my life right now, it is that one, I'm really trying to prioritize the food that I put in my body because I know what I feed myself, I end up feeding baby Poppy. And two, I do not have a lot of time. And even if I have aspirations of having these great balanced meals, sometimes I just do not have enough time to follow through on that, which is why I'm so happy that I have discovered Factor. And Factor makes these delicious, ready-to-eat meals. They're fresh, they're never frozen, they're chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and they're ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So they are perfect for me on those really busy mom days when both kids are going crazy, and they're perfect for my husband when he has long shifts at the hospital. He doesn't really get a meal break, so he can just pop one in the microwave and it's ready in just 2 minutes. And I love that they are no fuss, no mess meals, and they're good. They're really good. Plus, you can customize your weekly meals with flexibility so you can get as much or as little as you need. We need different amounts on different weeks, and so this is perfect for us. Plus, they have more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunches, snacks, beverage. So it really is just perfect for us. So head to factormeals.com/inminutes50 to use code inminutes50 to get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next month. That's code inminutes50 at factormeals.com/inminutes50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Hello, everyone. Welcome to this freeform episode of the Mindful in Minutes podcast. So you may have noticed I was feeling very bold and switched up the intro. Just a little bit of music. I've been thinking about changing. It's really not that big of a deal, but I feel like I have to explain myself. Because, change is hard. But I was talking to someone the other day, and I've been thinking about just shortening the intro for a long time. And I was just talking to a friend just about how much podcasting has changed in the last 5 years. And like when I kicked off Mindful in Minutes, it was very much like you had to have this like intro or like this little mini like trailer thing at the beginning of your podcast. It was just like one of those like podcasting rules, I guess, when I was starting my show, like way back, to let people know like what it is. And that's just not really the vibe anymore. That's just not really what you do. Plus, I know that we collectively skip through it. Not like calling anyone out on this. I have this like little, like this analytic tool thing. Well, I don't, but like my software does. And it shows like this little like, almost kind of like a, what is that called? Like a heat map. But it shows basically like where you lose people or like where people are like fast forwarding. And I just know that we fast forward through the intro. So I was like, why don't I save you some time? Well, it's not really saving me any time because I just drag and drop it. But I was like, you know what? It's springtime. It's 2023. Let's spice it up. Old intro's out and just a little intro music is in. So we'll see. If I change my mind, I guess I could always change back. I personally really like change for the most part. I know that that's not always everyone's like cup of tea and that change can be hard, but I think it's fun and new and exciting. So that's me trying to like stay hip. Also, one thing that was a little bit different or tricky this week. So I'm releasing this episode on a Friday. I usually release freeform episodes on Wednesday. I did a little update on the back end of my show, just like in like my hosting software. And of course, with anything, when you do an update, even though you follow the directions, something funny always happens. And it wasn't My new episodes weren't showing up on Spotify. So I thought everyone had hated the spring equinox meditation that I released on Sunday because I was like, oh my gosh, like no one is listening to it or only like a few people. I was like, what is going on? And I just thought I had like, released a stinker or something. But it turns out, maybe that meditation is a stinker, but I personally like it. Turns out that it just wasn't updating on Spotify, and there was a little glitch on the back end, and I didn't realize that until Wednesday. So I thought, you know what, we're going to give it a little time, make sure this glitch has been fixed, and I'll just do a free form on Friday. So those are the big updates of my life, you guys. Tech glitches and trying to be cool and hip, shortening my intro, you know, trying to keep up with the kids, if you will. But yeah, how are you doing? Hopefully you are doing well. Today we are doing what I think is a really fun episode, but I mean, I think they're all fun because I get to pick them. But this in particular, kind of like Auras 101, I'm really excited about it. I love the energetic system. I also really love auras. You know, whether, you know, you believe it or not, I can read auras. It's something like that we do on retreat sometimes, which is fun. And I hadn't done an episode on this because I was convinced that I had done it before, but then I remembered that I had done it as a workshop for an in-person retreat. And like, we did something similar on a virtual retreat. So I had convinced myself that like I'd already done this, but I hadn't. So I was like, oh, awesome. I get to talk about one of my favorite things here. So ever since I was a kid, I've been able to read auras, and I'm going to talk about like what that means. I'm not the type of person where like I can just like look at someone really quickly and like, and I automatically see this like color around them. The way that I do it is I kind of just get like once I sit in someone's energy for a while, I can sense the color. I don't know. It's hard to describe. But I'm going to talk about what an aura is. What are some signs that maybe you need a little like energetic tune-up, or how and why you may need to clear out your aura, how you do that. And then I want to teach you how to read auras, and maybe just I'll very briefly kind of go over like the big colors and what they mean. But sometimes what I will say about that, about the colors is, and I'll talk more about this when I talk about how to read them, but it's a little bit tricky because I don't want to like implant this, you know, idea in your mind. Like if after you listen to this, you're like, oh, I want to go try to read my aura, which it's really not as hard as it sounds. And for instance, you like the sound of a red. And so you're like, oh, I think that one's me. And then you create this like self-fulfilling prophecy. So I'll kind of just talk generally about the different colors. And I also want to say about the colors is there's many different like hues. So you'll definitely, like, Google will be your best friend. So if you're reading your aura, and, you know, I'll talk about generally, like, the family of greens. But, like, if you get, like, a lime green or you get, like, a dark forest green, those are very different things. And so you'll want to Google, like, the individual hue as well. And it'll give you something different. So let's dive in, shall we? I think that's it. Long enough intro. Someone told me the other day. Someone left a comment on a YouTube video and they were like, too much chit chat, get to the point. You know, whatever, tomato, tomato. But yeah, too much chit chat, guys. Let's get to the point. Let's talk about some auras. So what is an aura? Let's start there. And it's A-U-R-A, aura, if you're unfamiliar with it, not to be confused with an aura ring, which is something that I have and I really enjoy. This is not sponsored, which is O-U-R-A, I think. Anyways, you can look it up. I really like it. I got it for Christmas. I've been enjoying it. Again, not sponsored. So auras, we're going to be talking about our auras. What are they? Basically, your aura is the energetic field that is around you. So think about it as, you know, you may have seen them depicted like as a color, like someone has these, you know, colors around them. Like it looks like kind of a colorful egg or, you know, I mean, or an aura. We all know what an aura is, but it's like this just energy, this energy field around us. We all have one. And often like have you ever just like stood close to someone and even without talking to them, you feel like you kind of got a vibe from them? You definitely were picking up on kind of like their aura energy. So if you think about it as this like force field that can extend anywhere, and it just kind of depends. I'll talk about, you know, how you can like expand it if you want. But like it can extend anywhere from like a foot to like several feet out from your body. And so if you're standing close to someone and you feel like you're kind of getting a read on them or like a vibe on them, you're probably just reading the energy like of their energetic field or their aura. And some people are more sensitive to this than others. Like it can take practice. But I think we've all had the experience, or many of us have had the experience of like reading someone's energy without, before we even get to know them, like you kind of get this first impression and you're really just reading the energy of their aura. If you talk about someone's like, quote, like vibe, right? We're talking about kind of their energy, or like when they walk into a room, like what kind of a vibe do you get? And so I think it's interesting because we have all these kind of like phrases and like colloquial terms for what in essence is an aura. But then when you start putting a name to it and you talk about auras, it sounds very like, you know, kind of like woo-woo and out there. But if you think about it, like you've probably felt someone's aura, or you have noticed your own personal aura. So like many things, it's almost easier to recognize your aura or be aware of your aura, like when something is off. So your aura can be very porous. It's very much like this sponge that's around you. So not only can people like pick up on your energy by being close to you or viewing your aura or like touching it. Why does that sound weird? Coming into contact with it, that sounds better. But you also can probably become more aware of your own energy field when it feels off. So one big piece of auras is like general aura cleansing and maintenance, which we actually do a lot in our guided meditations. I just don't call it that. I'm like, okay, everyone, now we're gonna, you know, cleanse, strengthen, and build our auras. But we do a lot of this, like anytime we envision like a little bubble of light around us or some kind of like a protective bubble, you know, or we do like an energy clearing meditation, all of those are working with this idea of the aura, of our energetic force field that surrounds us. So signs that maybe it's a little bit off or could use like a little bit of a tune-up or a cleansing, because if it's a sponge, it's going to pick up stuff all day long. It also works really hard. It's like your sponge and your armor at the same time. So you know those days where you just are like, you're feeling really drained, or you're just feeling off, or you feel like maybe if you're more like empathic or sensitive, like you feel like you've carried something with you. Like it's literally like, and not even like a spiritual attachment. We're not even going to go there. But it's, you know, like if you spend a lot of time with a negative person or someone who's saying a lot of negative things, like you can feel that stick to you. And even if you can't like look at your body and say, oh, there's a big glob of negativity on my elbow, we can feel that it has attached to us, right? That it's like seeped into our being somehow. So it's really been like absorbed through our aura. And like a sponge, sometimes you have to kind of rinse it and wring it out to get the gunk out. So all day long with our interactions with other people, with what we're consuming, like, you know, different, you know, social media, the way that we think about ourselves, like all sorts of stuff can, you know, bring positivity in or negativity in, or just general like gunk in. And we need to clear that out. So a sign that you may need an aura cleansing or an energy cleansing is feeling really run down, like extra run down, not like, oh, I'm kind of tired today, maybe I need an extra cup of coffee, but like that drained feeling. Feeling just off, where you're like, I don't even know what's wrong. I can't even pinpoint it. I just don't quite feel like myself. Feeling kind of like that mental fog or kind of that emotional exhaustion or like compassion fatigue, mood swings, feeling like you have almost like an emotional or energetic hangover, or just a sense of being like, ugh, I really picked up something from this interaction or this person or this place, and I need to clear it out. So it's very intuitive connecting with the aura, because of course, like even when I teach you how to read them, the way that you kind of look at yours is going to be through like meditation and introspection, getting an idea of like, how it is, what it needs, all of that. So working with auras is kind of a combo of like working with the energetic system and then also kind of working with your intuition as well. It's a little double whammy. So in a nutshell, that's what, you know, the aura is and how you know it might be a little bit off or some signs that it might be a little bit off. So some different ways that you can clear out your energy or clear out your aura, some of the more common ones, things like meditation. I'll teach you specifically how to work with your aura in meditation. Sound bathing is really great, so like sound baths. It works if you just listen like through your headphones, but for your aura in particular, it really works well in person. The idea is that the vibrations from the instruments move through your aura. It also works with like the chakra system to kind of like shake up and clear out the gunk. Forest bathing and moon bathing. So that is, if you're unfamiliar with the practices, forest bathing is going out into the forest or the wilderness, and you let the energy, like that green, nourishing, uplifting energy of the forest and the plants to basically absorb the gunk of the negativity out of your aura. And this is something that even if you haven't done like traditional forest bathing, like, you know, when you just go out in nature, like it just feels good. You can feel that like clearing, that grounding, that release of the gunk in a way. So forest bathing is just a specific practice around that. It's a little bit more detailed. And it's really fun. We're going to do it on both of the upcoming retreats. I really like leading forest bathing, especially because you can like incorporate a little meditation into it. And then you go out and, you know, bathe in the forest. It's very fun. Highly recommend. And then on the flip side, there is moon bathing, which is a similar idea, except instead of bathing in the forest or nature energy, you are bathing in the moonlight. So letting the light of the moon, doesn't have to be on a full moon, shine down on your skin, on your energy. And the idea is that cool, calming moonlight energy will help to clear out the gunk. And then another way of doing it is through like traditional energy healing. So this is where I was really first introduced to the idea of like auras and working with auras, was when I was doing my Reiki training. And at the end of a Reiki session, what we always do is kind of clear the aura. So we've worked with all the different like chakras, the different, you know, kind of the big spots in our energetic system, if you will. And then at the very end, you kind of clear any gunk out of the aura and you kind of like fluff it up like a big cloud and put a little protective case or covering around your aura like to end the session. So that was when I really started to be introduced to this idea of like you can work with the auras or someone else's aura instead of just like working with your own. So if you go and get like an energy healing session, chances are at some point they'll be working with your aura to both clear and kind of protect. And the reason that they put this kind of protective casing around it is because, like I said, your auras can be really porous. They can be, you know, they absorb a lot. And with that, if you are someone in particular where you absorb a lot already, you can create this sort of protective case around your aura to help protect your energy or to help protect your peace in different moments. So that leads me right into then how you meditate with your aura or work with your aura in meditation. This episode is brought to you by Cozy Earth, and I'm thrilled to tell you about them because I've loved Cozy Earth since before they even sponsored this podcast. Now, Cozy Earth creates these luxurious bedding products. We are talking about like the softest bed sheets you have ever felt in your life. I'm speaking from experience. Also, these amazing like sleepwear products, loungewear, like anything that you need to create this amazing soft, cozy sleep sanctuary in your own home, Cozy Earth has it. And about a year ago, I kind of went for it and I ordered one of their bamboo sheet sets. And since then, I now have acquired 4 of their sheet sets because I love them so much. Like, I pulled out that first set. It was so soft and cozy. And I was like, I cannot go back to basic bedding anymore. Like, I felt like I was sleeping in this like soft, billowy cloud, and I had to get 2 sets for both of my bedrooms in my house immediately. And in honor of Mother's Day and the fact that all mothers and anyone who has a mother or who has had a mother deserves amazing sleep, right now you can use code MINDFUL for 35% off at CozyEarth.com. That is an exclusive Mother's Day offer. You are going to want to go and snag yourself some goodies at Cozy Earth. So get some for yourself. Also get some for your mom, because what says thank you, mom, more than luxurious bedding? And she'll think of you every single night when she goes to bed. And she's like, this is so comfy. I'm thinking about my amazing kid that gave me this wonderful Cozy Earth gift. And let's be honest, mom deserves it. So head over to CozyEarth.com and use promo code MINDFUL for an exclusive 35% off. Soft as a mother's touch, Cozy Earth wishes you a happy Mother's Day. Okay, so meditation and your aura, your energy force field. So there's a few different practices that I like to do when I'm working with my aura and kind of my energy. So the first thing I like to do is I like to meditate and take inventory of how it's doing. And the tricky part here is, is don't overthink it. You're going to be so tempted to like overthink it and be like, well, how do I know? Like, whatever. Just don't overthink it. Just have fun with it. Go with it. Trust your gut. And so in order to do a meditation where you're taking inventory and then clearing out any gunk, is you're going to sit and you're going to quiet your mind. And then you're going to start just by connecting with that energetic bubble around you. Maybe you see a color, maybe you don't. Doesn't matter. You're going to search and see, is there any gunk here? Is there any, you know, like debris? Or sometimes you can get like weak spots or tears or things that need to be repaired in your aura. Or you can, you know, have many different, anything can be stuck in there. It's like your energetic sponge. So I can't say exactly what you'll find, but just trust your gut and just be like, if you've never really done like aura work, it probably just needs a good, you know, deep clean. So you'll sit, you'll quiet your mind, you'll check in with that energetic bubble around you, and you'll say, oh, it seems like there's some gunk stuck here, some debris in here. Then you're going to do whatever kind of cleansing intuitively feels good to you. So that could be imagining your aura as being scrubbed with like soap and water. It could be, there's this practice called like aura combing, where you kind of, you can either physically like take your hands above your head and kind of create these little combs and like comb out any gunk. You also can just visualize kind of like, you know, combing and clearing out or like sweeping out any debris. That's an option. You can imagine like a bright light coming down and like melting away or dissolving away any gunk. There's no right or wrong way. Again, you're going to trust your gut on this one. And you're just going to ask like, how should I clear this? Maybe it's soap and water. Maybe it's the light. Maybe it's something else, you know, whatever it is. And then you'll just visualize that clearing happening. And then when it's all cleared, then you'll imagine this extra protective like barrier going around your aura. So that could be, you know, like a light. It can be kind of like this little sort of like shellac coating around it. Some kind of a protective something. Just creating this little case to help protect your energy and protect your peace. Also, if you feel that your energy is like a little bit weak, you could imagine like your aura strengthening and maybe growing a little bit bigger, a little bit stronger, and then put the protective kind of sheath around it. But that's like aura meditation 101, is basically sit, quiet your mind, check in with the space, check in with that energetic field. Basically, what does it need? How am I going to give it what it needs? Build it up and protect it. And you just take your time. You just trust your gut. So that's the way to do it. Another sort of meditation that you can do is you can set an intention before you get in the bath or the shower to let that bath or shower not only cleanse your body, but to cleanse your energy as well. So you take a second, close your eyes, set the intention, say, may this water cleanse my body and cleanse my energy, or may this water cleanse my body and my aura. You set that intention, and then you get in the shower or you get in the bath, and you imagine that the water is washing away anything that needs to be cleared out, and then you watch it go down the drain when either you pull out the drain in your bathtub or you turn off the shower and you watch it all just go down the drain, and then it's gone. And then once you hop out of the bath or shower, you can then, you know, do that little protective visualization around it. And that's another way that you can meditate with your aura as well. Another thing that you can do during any meditation that you're doing is once you get a feel for what color your aura is, like what the primary color is, we'll talk about colors in just a second, but there's often like, it's usually like two primary colors, but there's usually like one big dominant one. So once you get a feel for like generally what your aura color is, you can take a moment when you're meditating to visualize that color surrounding you, it being really big and strong and healthy and vibrant. So that's kind of like aura maintenance mode. Once you've kind of cleared and, you know, repaired and all of that, maybe in a deeper meditation, you can start doing kind of this check-in. Something you can do in the moment when you can feel things impacting your aura or like sticking to it is in that moment, just take a few deep breaths and imagine that you have like, you know, and this can be you're on a Zoom call with someone or you're talking to them or you walk into a room and you're just like, oh, nope. And this is really good for my empaths or my HSP, my highly sensitive people. You walk in right away, visualize. And sometimes like if I really need to protect my energy, I'll visualize like this like steel coating around my aura. It's like nothing is getting in here. And you visualize this protective coating. You don't want to do like the steel one all the time because that really can kind of like shut you off. But in emergency situations when you're like, oh, I need to like protect right now, you can visualize kind of like a steel coating around it or a protective white light. Sometimes you can use the mantra, only good comes in, only good comes out, meaning that like only good can pass through your energetic field and you're only releasing good out of it as well. So sometimes that helps. That's basically how you can work with your aura through meditation. Now let's get to the fun part. Or, you know, the grand finale, the reason that we're here. And that is the colors. And how do we read our color? Because that's like the first thing. Or like if people hear that like I do auras or aura work, like what color is mine? So I'm going to teach you how to do it. And we'll talk about kind of the major colors and what they mean. So if you want to read your aura, like aura reading 101, this is what you're going to do. You're going to get a white piece of paper or you're going to be by a plain blank white wall. No pictures, no weird shadows, nothing like that. You're going to take a few moments to kind of center yourself, to take a few deep breaths, to kind of connect with your intuition. And then you'll take one of your hands. If you have any rings or anything like that, take them off if you can. Put your hand, just palm down, either on that white piece of paper or kind of hold it up so the background is just like that white wall. Then you're going to look between two of your fingers. I usually look between the pointer finger and the middle finger. That's just like, I don't know, that's just where my gaze goes. You're going to look between these two fingers and you're just going to look and you're not going to blink and you're going to wait, give it some time. And after a while, you'll see that you'll kind of maybe start to see like these little waves or like it'll get a little bit fuzzy, the outline of the fingers. That's good. Just keep on going. Keep looking between those two fingers, like right between them, and just wait. And eventually that kind of outline or like that waviness around the fingers, it'll start to turn into a color. It definitely takes longer when you're first trying to do it. Maybe give it a few tries. You also could try the intuitive version, which is where you just sit and you quiet your mind. You connect with your aura and you just ask like what color it is and you wait to see what comes. For some people that works, or some people that doesn't. For most people, eventually, like looking in between two fingers, just kind of, you know, fuzzing up the eyes. And what I mean by like fuzzing up the eyes is like almost like you're trying to look through something and then like looking at something. So you try not to, you know, like focus on it too hard and don't blink. And then eventually you'll start to see this little outline around your hand, and that outline will eventually turn into a color. That is how I have always taught aura reading. I've had a lot of success with it, like with people being able to successfully, within a few minutes or so, see a color. If you're trying to read someone else's aura, you do something similar and always get their permission, of course. And then they can sit by, you know, just you want like a plain background so you don't have any interference. And then I like to gaze just past their ear. So I'll look like just past their head and like past their ear. And you'll start to see that little outline kind of around their head and around their ear. And then eventually that outline, if we're not blinking and kind of just like fuzzing up our gaze a little bit, it will turn into a color. You will second guess yourself. You'll be like, oh, I don't know. I think it was pink, but intuitively, I feel like I'm a red or whatever it is. Just play around with it. It's really not that big of a deal. Let it be fun. And then remember that there can be many different like hues. So purple could be a lavender or a lilac, or it could be like a violet, or, you know, just a regular old like run-of-the-mill like royal purple. All of these colors can have different shades or different hues. So I encourage you to just Google it to really, right now I'm about to dive into the big colors. But if you are unsure, or if you're like, I don't know if it was red or it was orange, I think it was kind of a reddish orange, Google reddish orange aura meaning. And when you look up the meaning, you'll be able to get a feel kind of right away if like it resonates or not, where you're like, yeah, I mean, that kind of, you know, that definitely could be me. Or if it's like completely off base, it doesn't mean that like you don't know yourself at all. It just means try again and see if you don't get a different color. And your aura can change colors based on like different situations or what's going on in your life. But a lot of the time you'll have like one or two predominant colors, you know, dominant colors that you see again and again. That's kind of like the core colors. And then you can have like different colors kind of changing. But a lot of the time, especially when you're first learning how to read your aura and other people's auras, it'll be one of those dominant colors that's going to come through first. So let's talk about these colors. Starting off with white, I don't know if I've ever really seen a white aura. It's very much like purity, like embodiment of the highest self, you know, kind of like this, it's very much kind of like a high vibrational, like cosmic energy in a way. I don't know if I've ever seen a white aura, like on someone, but the reason that you will hear in a lot of visualizations, not just mine, but a lot of meditations in general, you'll hear like, oh, a white light surrounds you, or a white light shines down on you. It's because that white light is very much that like higher self energy, that like oneness energy, that like cosmic, like pure energy, that light, like pure light energy. So that's why you see white light in particular showing up a lot in different visualizations of both mine and others. Let's talk about gold. I very rarely, like I can count on one hand the amount of times that I've seen like a gold aura. It is not very common, but it's very much kind of this like magnetic energy, like this high vibrational, you know, spiritual, like very talented, like gifted aura energy. Like people definitely can have like gold elements. You'll also see a lot of gold light kind of coming down in different visualizations and different meditations. It's because of the general vibe of a gold light energy. And, but I have not been doing this for a while, and I have not seen a lot of gold auras really. It's like a very magnetic, like high vibrational person, but a lot of times, so like a turquoise aura is similar, where it's kind of like that high vibrational, but kind of in like a teacher or like a healer or like a spiritual guidance way. So I think turquoise is much more common than gold. They have similar type vibes, but are a little bit different. Like gold energy is just very like magnetic, like spiritual, high vibration, where turquoise is all of those things, but it's more in the realm of like a teacher, a healer, a leader. So then like purple is going to be kind of this like sort of like creative, charming, connective energy, kind of like magical and playful is kind of like the purple, you know, aura, like a lot of like artists and creators and yeah, they'll have like purple a lot in their aura. Blue is very like tranquil and wise and intuitive and calm. A lot of like moms, but like I'll say more like grandmas have, not that if you have a blue aura, you're a grandma. I'm just trying to describe like what this energy feels like. It feels like you're getting like really wise, comforting words from like your sweet grandma or a sweet grandma, where they're just so just like unbothered, just grounded, calm, and just kind of like wise. That's sort of like that blue aura energy. Green energy is very like, it's like peaceful and healing, but it's more playful. It's like harmonious, you know, it's very like loving, but it's a little bit more playful than like a blue. And then yellow is very like optimistic and friendly, happy. They have self-control. They have self-confidence. Kind of like, you know, just like a little, you know, starburst, like starlight energy. It's like what you think like a yellow would be. It's kind of like a little burst of light. Orange is also like optimism, kind of emotionally balanced. It can be confident. But I would say an orange, in my opinion, has like a little bit more edge than a yellow. It's maybe a little bit more like stronger in a way, maybe a little bit more like ambitious. Not that yellows aren't ambitious, but yellows are like a big smile and a hug, when like oranges are a little bit more like confident and like I'm going in this direction. Like I feel good about the direction I'm going in a way. Red is like very strong and passionate. I think it's kind of like, you know, like Scorpios are often depicted like as red, kind of that like strong, like passionate, deep feeling kind of energy of like a red. And then a pink is very like loving. So a lot of moms have pink auras or pink energy. Like when you think about those really sweet, like loving moms, they often have like a pink energy to them. Lots of love, lots of giving, you know, like faithfulness, caring, compassion. Like that's kind of like a pink energy. And so those are like the big, big colors. You can kind of have like a rainbow aura. I have heard of this. And there's different theories about a rainbow aura, which I think are kind of interesting, because they're like, well, are you perceiving a white aura, but in all of like the different colors making up like a white aura? Or is it separate? And there's some debate there out there in the aura world as to like a white aura versus a rainbow aura and like what that means. But a rainbow aura is very much kind of that like higher self kind of balance and embodying all of these like different energies. And all that the primary aura color really tells you is like what your general vibe is, or what your general vibe is in that moment, because it can change. So, you know, a lot of teachers will primarily have, you know, kind of like turquoise, but they may also have some pink in there, though they might be mostly turquoise and pink. That kind of gives you like a general, you know, vibe. Or maybe someone is sort of, you know, maybe they're really kind of like playful and fun. They might be like an orange and a purple. You also, like I said, like with green, I've seen lime greens are really common, color that I see, especially, I mean, a lot of the times I do these kind of readings like on retreats and things like that. So people are in very much kind of like a healing, peaceful, like open, loving state. So like green's really common, but there's a huge range of like greens that you can see. Same with like yellows. Like it can range from like a really light pale yellow to like, you know, a really deep, rich yellow. Like there's this big spectrum between like pink and purple and everything in between. And there's magentas and, you know, all that. So there's a lot of different options, but that gives you a general idea of like the different vibe of the main colors. But give it a try. I think reading auras is super fun. The more you do it, the easier it gets. sometimes it's like a fun thing to do if you have like, you know, a group of like woo-woo friends, which hopefully you all do, because like what's more fun than getting together for like a dinner party and then reading each other's auras? Maybe that doesn't sound like fun to you, but that sounds like a blast to me. You can practice with other people. You can, you know, try different things. Give it a whirl. Read your aura. Our pets have auras. You can read their aura, which is kind of fun. Just try it out. But yeah, that's basically like Aura 101. Hopefully you enjoyed this. I love talking about it. So hopefully you enjoyed listening. I am so grateful for you. Thank you for letting me share what I love. And I hope that you have a wonderful, beautiful day ahead of you.